Hello, freaks, and welcome to Radical Research. This is episode 115 on San Francisco's Hex. That's H-E-X-X. Hey, Hunter.
Hi.
What's up?
Ready to get wet, ready to swim with the fishes.
Hunter's ready to get wet. Well, I'm just going to come up with an ad hoc nickname for you right now in the spirit of Jason Walton. Banjo. Banjo Ginn.
I like it.
You ready
Jason
to strum?
Walton will like that, too.
You ready to go picking? Let's go. First off, we've got Eric Lynch to thank for his latest donation. Now, if you want to choose to donate and support our efforts, you can do it the old school way and send some cheddar to PayPal via RID, radicalresearchpodcast@gmail.com, or drumroll, you're a drummer. Give me a 1516 paradiddle. Wow. You did it. You can hit our new Patreon page and select from three different monthly subscription levels. Just go to patreon.com/radicalresearchpodcast. That's three different monthly subscription levels. That's basically something we instituted recently because we had a lot of people that were repeat donors. And we thought, well, we're really humbled by that for one. And we're a little bit quizzical about how anybody likes us that much. But we're really glad you do and glad you're so fond of us. So if you want to do that, we would love it. We would love to eventually make money off this thing. But the only way we're going to make money off Radical Research, I think, Hunter, is to finally get that $10,000 for Bathory's Octagon episode where we deep dive that thing.
Yep. And we are ready and willing.
Yes, yes, yes. Also, for this particular episode, I want to give thanks, a humongous round of applause to George Ketayenis, the great Greek, as we call him, for helping us obtain some of the MP3s in today's episode. There's an AB that we're going to do between their kind of first direction and Hex's sort of second direction in the mid to late 80s. And we couldn't have done that without him obtaining this MP3 for us because it was just a particularly hard one to get and to reproduce well. I want to also note before we get into it, so we don't have to like mire ourselves in this, Hunter, when we start listening and talking about Hex and their stuff. The Quest for Sanity EP stuff are rips from this old Techniques USB turntable I had, and it never got the best reproduction of their shitty rips. You know what I mean? So people will get the idea, but I'm sorry that I didn't ask George for that, but I felt like I was asking him for enough. And yeah, he's great. Hex, man, I don't know where to start with this band. Cause this is an interesting one. Where we're dipping into one very particular era.
Well, I can tell you where I start with it because it has to do with you. I did not know about Morbid Reality until the email that you sent me and Nate about the first Canvas demo.
Really? Now refresh my memory. How's that work into it?
So you referenced Morbid Reality against our music.
Okay. Yeah.
Talking about a few things, and you were like, oh, Hex, Morbid Reality, and you know, Afflicted, and a couple of other things. I was like, well, fucking hell, what the hell's Hex? And Nate didn't know Hex either.
Oh wow. So you guys, I mean, even in your early 90s Century Media delving days, yep, you didn't get into this because that was their Century Media.
It missed us. Yep. Huh. Or we missed them rather.
I feel like that's the story on the Hex boat for just about, not everybody, but a whole lot of people that were even there then. Because my memory, as somebody 10 years older than you, I had a friend get their first album, No Escape. He then got Under the Spell when that came out. I was always interested in listening to some of that with him. We'll get to maybe my favorite Hex song, which happens to be from No Escape. But I latched on when I saw their the Quest for Sanity EP in a record store. It was on Wild Rags. And at that time, I was buying up all kinds of like of that late 80s extreme shit. Like it had great, great, great appeal. And so I picked this up. I was like, wow, this looks like a lot different Hex just from the look of it. You know what I mean? It didn't look like that first era of Hex.
Sure.
Just from, you know, the outward image. And I put it on. I couldn't believe like, oh, this is that same band. God damn. Wow. Because they had changed. They were like vicious death thrash with a slightly technical edge that got a little more technical on Morbid Reality. Hellwitch. Yeah. Hellwitch. Exactly. We're going to hear evidence of this. So with that in mind, let's start in and listen to Terror. Now, Terror is maybe my favorite Hex song. I think it's by far the best one on the off the first album. I have an adoration for the first album, but it's limited, and I think it's not a great album, but it's good. I just think Terror is great. So let's check out some of that. Not much of it, but it'll set the table. So there, I just hear this forceful, dark, heavy metal with this really sublime vocal melody going on.
Like Sabotage to me.
Oh, yeah, it does. Dungeons era, Dungeons Are Calling era. Yeah, it sure does, man. What do you think of that? Is that something you went back to these albums right after getting into Morbid Reality?
Yeah, no, I got that 2 CD reissue.
Okay.
And it's 2015.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's when I got into the early stuff. I really didn't even know it. Love Under the Spell, particularly.
Yeah, I know you like that one a lot.
That's been an enduring thing for me.
What do you think of Terror, what we just heard?
Yeah, no, I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got that early kind of mystical Metal Blade axe logo sort of thing.
Absolutely.
It's like tough ass like American metal. But it's got a kind of a mystical vibe about it too.
It's the mystical vibe. It's the sublime vibe. That's where Manzo, the vocalist, that was his name apparently, Dennis Manzo. He's only on this one record by them. Didn't do much else. And like, I just think that on this album, and particularly that song, like he's just choosing some really beautiful, sumptuous melodies. Almost
Love that word.
sorry,
I love that word.
sumptuous.
Sumptuous. Yeah.
A little like King Diamond's mid-range when he would be as traditional as he ever got, maybe like the self-titled EP,
Sure.
one that's all people always call Nuns Have No Fun. That one, like, there's an element of that, and yeah, as you say, all things mystical from that era. That Metal Blade Axe logo, it was on Shrapnel. It's on Shrapnel because I guess Mike Varney identified Dan Watson as a particularly amazing player. He's really good, and in this era, they also had a guy named Bill Peterson. Now, Bill Peterson and Dan Watson would run through the entire Hex era, or at least this first era that we're going to be covering. That's the history there. They drop Manzo for the second album, got a guy named Dan Bryant in on vocals, and a guy named Clint Bower on second guitar. So they're five piece now. Under the Spell comes out, and it's even darker. Reminds me a little bit of that band Apocrypha.
Of
If
that record. Yeah. Forgotten Scroll.
Forgotten Scroll and The Eyes of Time, those are pretty great albums. But it's kind of still in that world, and just I don't know, just a little heavier, a little darker. And it's 1986 now. What happens after Under the Spell, though, is they dissolve again. They dissolve the lineup in a way. They lose Dave Schmidt on the drums. They lose Dan Bryant on vocals. Now Watson, Bower, and Peterson get a guy named John Schaefer, not the Capitol storming fool. And it's spelled differently, but that becomes the four-piece Hex, who will put out a demo in 87 that sounds quite different. We will get to that, but let's listen to what happens between Under the Spell and then that next wave. This is kind of a back-to-back comparison, a song called Edge of Death from Under the Spell, and then a version of Edge of Death that new lineup did. And this will kind of display exactly what we're talking about in terms of the great transition with Hex. This is the first minute and a half of each version of Edge of Death.
Yeah. got death in their eyes. Is it fate that claims your life? Or some other man's eyes? On the edge of death, see your life before your eyes. On the edge of death, the reaper has come, and now it's your turn to die. Blood runs cold in your veins. Mr. Death waits in the wind to take you out of this place. The princess speaks the final words that you aren't here.
Cocaine.
Yeah, that's stark, the difference. Obviously, the similarities, too. I mean, they were always aggressive, but gee, yeah. Man. I think I failed to mention Clint Bower is the one taking over the vocals. So glad he came into this band. I love his vocal delivery for
love
sure. Yeah. He could give any of the great German thrash legends a run for their money at his best, just with that rasp. And it's genuine. It's believable. It's fucking
convincing. Yeah. All
scary.
That.
Yeah. It's great, man. So that's the new Hex. Yeah. Some of the history there is that in 87, so 1 year after Under the Spell, this new four-piece did this demo. It's kind of called the Help Yourself demo, but it's all five songs that ended up on the Quest for Sanity EP that came out like 2 years later. Like I said, I warned everybody that these snippets aren't going to have the best sound quality. They're not representative of if you were sitting down with the actual EP, but let's listen to Sardonicus. This one's for Jason Wald.
I got to tell you too, man, and we can keep this on the record or off. Maybe on, but like, I don't want to listen to anything but metal right now. I don't know what it is. Like, and I've actually been consciously trying to not listen to metal, and it won't stop.
It's like,
I fucking do not want to listen to anything but metal right now.
Let me tell you, Hunter, she's a seductive mistress.
She's a jealous lover.
She really, yeah. Stop listening to that modern English.
fuck your modern English. I did listen to that, and then immediately I went back and listened to December Wolves.
Of course you did.
Like, fuck your modern English.
Well, let's hear what you think about this metal. This is sardonic.
Let's hear what you think about this heavy metal right here.
Was to be greeted with chains, shackles, and irons. Standing in
It's like a power metal band that is turning into sadists. You know, it's like there was an evolutionary step that just got missed, and they're becoming sadists.
Yeah, it's weird. I was trying to think. I thought this about Hex before, but like there were other bands that made this similar transition, but I think the contrast is much starker than most other examples that we can think
Yeah,
of.
but they were such a traditional metal band. You know, like it's hard to miss that.
Yeah, it could have, they could have done a name change. I'm glad they didn't. I think it's fine because it's just, it's their evolution. Also, you know, you mentioned Sadus. I can think of two other California bands they totally remind me of, which is Dark Angel, especially in the Darkness Descends era, and then Holy Terror. Not as sophisticated as Holy Terror, but then I don't think many bands are as sophisticated as Holy Terror. I mean, Holy Terror, of course, had the Seething Rage.
Who is as sophisticated as Holy Terror?
Yeah, I mean, it's it, yeah.
It's an impossible standard.
Yep. But I love that these are all California bands. So there definitely was a thing. I mean, obviously, two of those are LA. Hex is San Francisco. You know, Sadus is San Francisco. Clint Bower would end up playing in a couple bands with Chris Reifert from Autopsy, Abscess, and The Ravenous. That's kind of interesting. He was a cool guy. I actually met that guy once when I saw Abscess out in LA. They were playing like a Relapse showcase, and that was when I was at Relapse. Mind Drop played, and Abscess and a couple other bands. More jam. But I remember meeting Clint, and he was just about as sweet and peaceful of a hippie as he looks.
That makes me happy.
Makes you happy? Good. Yeah, more seething death thrash. Let's listen to two more from Quest for Sanity, snippets from Fields of Death, and then Twice as Bright. I like the subtitle Half as Long as well. Twice as Bright, Half as Long.
What we know is lost in a nuclear cloud. So late, so often, so bad. Painful death takes the crowd. Cry out but never heard. Machine is killed and now. War machine. War machine. Crime smashing, you're falling in. War machine. No hope, all is lost. River is wilding, made of bone and blood. Little building are swept away by the deadly, flashing blood. War machine, war machine. Burning, flying, melting you. War machine, trapped in confusion. The children wonder why. Huddled in the trenches, no one to hear them cry. War machine destroying all. Christ conquer and soul you'll die. My secret mind is trained to kill. We were enemies before we were born. We thought our bottom war was hard to hate. days have passed. I've given you my engine blast. My mind and flesh are running slow. Insane thoughts I can grow. Each day we rest closer to death. The next could be our last breath. We just want to sing our song. Oh, this fucking world is gone. Twice as bright, half as long. Twice as bright, half as long. Twice as bright, half as long.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Before we actually talk about that, I got to keep this in, Hunter. This is actually for listeners because it's somewhat technical. It's really stupid. After 115 episodes plus, because we've done 0.5s, I had my microphone backwards. Like, I don't think that matters. I think I have it in omnidirectional setting, but if it sounds weird before that, I apologize. We'll see. If it doesn't, I'll edit that out, Hunter. Getting on to, yeah, I know. Getting on to that.
That seems like the kind of thing that you would miss.
Not the kind of thing I would miss, no. Not like ace to spades.
Ace to spades.
Musically, that beginning of the snippet of Twice as Bright proves that they still have that melodic thing there, right? They weren't like a clean break. Like, they always kept this element of melody. It wasn't completely atonal or anti-melodic. Like, they always had this thing. And I think we see that there. And I love listening to like this version of Hex and hearing like the Roots, because you don't often, it's not there often, like speed wise, vocally, you know, even the guitar approach is a little different, but I like that
it's
aspect.
It's like sort of halfway between Agent Steel and Hyrax.
Oh, interesting.
A little like, you know, kind of crossover thing, but still very melodic.
Yeah, they always kept that. And I love that. Yep. I also like we get Clint Bower doing the Tom Araya scream, the whale.
I love it. Love it.
I heard you chuckling as we were listening, I think. Pretty great. So it was the next year they released a single on Wild Rags called Watery Graves, and it had two re-recorded Under the Spell songs on the B-side, which is, you know, we listened to one of those, Edge of Death. I remember getting that and being real excited because we're not going to listen to it right now. We're going to listen to the Morbid Reality version later, but Watery Graves is kind of their anthem. I know you love it because since we've been talking about doing the Hex show, you've been talking about water a lot.
We've made a lot of Watery Graves jokes lately.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I love the subject matter of Watery Graves, man. Just adrift at sea and, you know, birds pecking at you, pecking your eyes out until you die. It's kind of pestilency in that way, right? Dehydrated, yeah, and all that.
I do not want to die that way. Like, of all the ways to die, I do not want to die that way.
I do want to die listening to Watery Graves by Hex. I just don't. Yeah,
that's fine. Yeah. Like, yeah, no.
Okay, let's dive into Morbid Reality. This is the first track.
We'll be right back.
Some of the most desperate metal ever.
Yeah, I mean, you're so, yeah, Clint Bower means it, man. It's coming at you. Yeah, really. Yeah, it's like,
I feel threatened.
right. Yeah, it just fucking delivers, man. It has you on the edge of your seat. It's exciting. It's, yeah, it blazes by you in a pretty horrifying way sometimes. I just think they sell that so well. That's such a great opening track, and there's so many good things we can say about it. I'm sure the listener noticed, but that's in two parts because I wanted to start with the beginning, which I really like. And I think that ending is really great. One of my favorite things about that ending is a thing that I love every now and then when I hear it, which is when you're fading out, then you end the song. Like it's not just a true fade, right? It actually, the song ends, but it's ends way back in the fade. And I love that. And it works really well there.
No, it does. Yeah, it's yeah, they're a band on the edge. They're a band on the run.
What appeals to you of them when I compared early Canvas to this? What appealed to you in terms of, like, I mean, you heard the technicality in Morbid Reality. You heard.
Yeah, but I remember that you said about the early Canvas stuff that it had a paranoid edge.
Ah, okay. And that's this too.
Yeah, and I remember like looking back on the Canvas stuff and thinking the same, like we were smoking just fuck ton of weed and we're probably paranoid ourselves, but I remember thinking, yeah, I hear that.
Oh, interesting. Okay, well, good. Let's move on. This is the second song from Morbid Reality. This thing came out in November 91 on Century Media. As we said, I remember at the time feeling like I was maybe the only person on the planet that knew it or liked it. But man, it fit right into what I was listening to in the early 90s. I mean, super intense metal. It was everywhere. And here we go. This is the last step.
I remember there being a lot of competition between thrash and death at this point. This to me seems more intense than most of the death metal that was coming out at the time.
Think of the most intense thrash. I mean, it goes toe to toe intensity wise with death metal. I think it always has and always should. Well, not always should, but like, you know, there are many examples, wonderful examples. Yeah, that's a really good point. And these guys absolutely step right in the middle of both of those things. They weren't death metal, they weren't thrash metal. They were, I mean, I don't love the term death thrash because it brings up a lot of like really bad bands on the Scarlet label or something. I don't know. But like, or whatever. I mean, you know what I mean? But
I know what you mean.
this is what death thrash should be. No question. I mean, and I do love how tricky they make it, although they're never in that realm of the 1993 bands, as we call them. But you know what? You know what's interesting to think about? What would they have been in 2 years if they had kept going? Because spoiler alert, this is, I think we said it, this is it. And then they regroup later as with two original members. Bill Peterson eventually dies and they become the power metal band again. I haven't even heard those records. But my point is, if they hadn't broken up after Morbid Reality, did they have an even more technical, colder 1993 album in them?
Yep.
Would you have loved it?
Probably.
You're supposed to be way more emphatic than that, man.
I'm old and cynical. So
But your target audience, man.
hopefully I would love it,
Are you the
but
tar are you the target audience for that or what? That's what I'm saying.
I am, and trust me, I am. But
Okay.
I reserve my enthusiasm.
Well, we'll never know, will we? Speaking of Hunter, Blood Hunter. Let's go. Once again, cocaine.
Those are some whiplash changes.
Yeah, there was that like interesting stop on a dime and then like that little snare fill and then back into it. And it the pause didn't make total sense in the time signature.
Exactly.
Yeah. Incidentally, Clint Bower, the guitarist and vocalist there, is the man who played bass on two Autopsy Shit Fun songs. Perhaps my favorite factoid about Hex or Hex related. Especially since one of them was Burnt to a Fuck, which was always one of my favorite song titles in that band's catalog.
Burnt to
Burnt to a
a
Fuck.
fuck.
Burnt to a Fuck. You ever been burnt to a fuck?
I wish that on all my worst enemies.
If you're just listening to Radical Research, this is not the episode to come in on. We can guarantee it. Dude, this is we're skipping a few songs. We're not going to give you all of Morbid Reality. I have no idea what this goes for on the secondary market, but just go to Discogs and find out. But man, I am so glad I own this. You own the original CD, I guess.
do.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
I do.
It's a
Because of
beautiful
you.
because of me, once again. Sorry. This is Persecution Experience.
Also, an amazing song title. Do you think this is like this is like a travel package?
Persecution Experience.
Getaway? Or would you like the persecution experience?
Like the Hexian Seinfeldian world version. That's hilarious, man. All right, let's listen. Well, great ending. Persecution Experience has a great ending. The drum stuff there is great. And then when the bass joins up with it.
And there's, you know, and I think you mentioned this earlier, but there's so much German thrash in this stuff.
Yeah, I think that's its closest relative. It
Early.
does it doesn't sound Bay Area, obviously. And any more than Sadus did. Sadus was also an outlier. It sounds LA. We identified Dark Angel and Holy Terror, but still, I think the rawness and the ferocity level, I guess, is so German. It's very strict vocal style, certainly. I'd be surprised if Clint wasn't like a huge fan of, Creator, Sodom, Destruction, Darkness,
Definitely
Assassin.
a lot of Mila in there.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Well, we get to Watery Graves. We got to get to this one. This is the penultimate song on the album.
Gotta get the Watery Graves.
Yeah, I know you want to get to the Watery Graves. I know this is where you want to die.
I've been making Watery Graves jokes all week.
I'm gonna say that next time I have to announce myself going to the bathroom, like something about like I've got to go lay in the watery grave or I don't know, something like that.
Would you excuse me while I go to the watery graves?
The watery graves, exactly. Yeah. All right. If there's a Hex classic, it's this one.
My grave. wave, and life is shown. Let out by the sea, we stay for a while, and we strip for the ghosts. Pick up a crab, flies buzzing and out. Laying eggs and turn into maggots. The maggots, beast of what they call. Leave behind the one they spread wings and fly away too.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
You ever thrown a chicken wing down on a beach shore? You ever see what the seagulls do to
Yeah, they're pretty brutal.
it? Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
That's
pecking and
how I feel when I listen to the end of this song.
that's a lot of pecking, a lot of stabbing.
Very brutal. I feel like the brutality of the seagulls picking on the chicken wing
Yeah.
is commensurate with the brutality of that song.
I think Clint Bower, the writer of that song, would be really happy about that because that's what it's trying to convey. And like it actually really does.
And
You...
the end of it sounds sort of peaceful,
Right.
but to me it sounds like hell.
It's death.
It's death.
It really, it's funny because how many songs, how many bands and songs have written about like horrible ways to die, like torturous ways to die, weird ways to die. Like, I mean, it's just, you know, it's, you know, this genre is thick with that. But I think there are very few songs that like convey it in that kind of spine chilling way that Watery Graves does, where like, and we know you and I, we probably listen to this song 500 times between the both of us. And like, we still get that every single time, right?
Yep. Horrifying. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I think if I was going to give somebody like, you know, what is Hex all about? I'd give them Watery Graves. I know we've talked it up a lot already, but I just still think, I mean, Morbid Reality, the song is also a really, 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 really good song. So if you like that snippet and you like Watery Graves, then you like Hex. And I hope people, somebody out there has been turned on because this band really was, seemed to be ignored at the time, maybe not even taken seriously
I
because they
think they
didn't,
were totally ignored.
yeah, they didn't fit. And plus, they were kind of known from having this old past. And I think some people probably, I don't have evidence of this, but I'm just going to assume a lot of, you know, some people thought they were bandwagon jumpers, right? Oh, you know, just getting onto the early death metal train or whatever. But no, you know, I just feel like this was very genuine for them. I really lament that there wasn't a 1993 album. That would have been, it's an exciting prospect. The big what if, you know?
I think they would have risen to the occasion.
I do too. I absolutely do too. It's a bummer of a what if because I feel like it could have been amazing. I remember at some point, you know, my ex Tanya worked at Century Media and was tight with all the bands, and she had been there since the early 90s. She moved over from Germany to help start the US office for Century Media. So she knew all these people. And I remember at one point, like maybe late 90s, early 2000s, I saw some kind of paperwork on her desk and it was about Bill Peterson. And I was like, Bill Peterson, a Hex. Like I was having this like, you know, unlikely fanboy moment. And she's like, yeah. I'm like, man, I fucking love Hex. Is that Bill Peterson? She's like, yeah.
Yeah, that is that guy.
It's little things like that that get me excited. But I was bummed to hear of his death. And I think it was about, was it 2019 or so? But she had very good things to say about Bill and Hex. It was one of her favorite bands she'd ever worked with. It was brief, of course. Anyway, we're going to leave it at that, except we're going to go out after our little talk about episode 116 with a song that ends the album, Morbid Reality, called Spider Jam. It's an instrumental. By far, to me, I'm glad they ended the album with this after Watery Graves. It's a little bit of a come down. It's not, you remember when bands like I think Destruction's Release from Agony has that did it did it did it did it like that just hokey ending tacked on to the end of the album. That was kind of a thing back then. And I'm glad that Spider Jam's an actual 4-minute instrumental that's it's got levity to it, certainly. I mean, nothing else on the album is has levity. This does, I think. Did you agree with that? And do you like the ending?
I don't like levity in metal.
Wow, that's a pretty blanket statement, very absolute.
So,
What are you saying about Spider Jam then?
I accept it for what it is.
Really? Oh, I so your enthusiasm, you're not 100% on Morbid
I'm
Reality.
not 100% on this.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I enjoy Spider Jam. To me, I think when they get into the really most rocking moments, it sounds like early Voivod, where you had this extreme band at heart playing things that came from the rock canon. You know what I mean? And I think that's where that lands for me. But yeah, I hear you. I guess it's divisive. And I guess Marty Rickanen, we don't always agree. So I'll have to point him toward
Hey,
this
Marty,
episode.
finally.
Yeah. Go to this episode, go to minute 55, and you'll find us not agreeing on something. So have fun with that. Episode 116. This is going to be interesting too. We may have disagreements on this one. This is going to be unusual. We're going to explore what psychedelic music is. And this is a directive to you, Hunter, as well as myself. The snippets we pick can have no sitar. Okay? Because a sitar does not necessarily equate with psychedelic rock music. But we're going to look at psychedelic music, what psychedelia is in music, especially the kind of music we listen to. There will be metal, there will be lots of non-metal. It'll be interesting. And what Hunter and I are going to do are pick about five or six snippets each. We're not going to know what the other one's picking. It'll be blind. And we'll kind of just debate and discuss our thoughts on what makes music psychedelic or not. That's episode 116. We look forward to it. It's been a while since we've done kind of a theme episode, and that's gonna be a lot of fun. Do you have any ideas of what you might preview?
Oh yeah,
Oh yeah. Ooh, you're on it. You're on it.
I am.
You're on it like stink on a seagull.
Yeah, like a seagull on a chicken wing,
Like death on a
like
seagull.
death on a death on a beach shore.
Nice, you're on it. All right. Well, this is the highly contested in this house, Spider Jam. And we'll leave you with that. And thanks for listening. And do check out our Patreon page, Radical Research Podcast. Just search it up if you want to give. And, as Tim Robinson knows, you got to give.